Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
And we continue along down the conference finals. We see a return to dominance and a familiar position for Golden State and a dogfight in the Eastern Conference. It's some kind of fight because it continues.
Dogfight is what it is.
Well, we are joined with a fantastic podcaster and one of the best follows on Twitter, Mr. Dragonfly Jones. I'm Miles Gray.
I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is Miles and Jack. Jack got mad.
Boosties.
Flawless execution.
Nailed it.
Welcome, welcome, y'all, to another edition. What is this, episode 9? Look at us.
I think that's right. We really did it.
We
had Robert Ori on last week.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell me anything. I am peak confident.
Oh, yeah. I went to LA Fitness and shot 7 straight air balls. Just off the strength of beating Robert.
I'm insufferable around the house right now, but it's all good. It's important for me. But welcome to the show, Mr. Dragonfly Jones. Thrilled to have you. One of my favorite followers on Twitter.
Yes. I appreciate y'all having me. That podcast intro was amazing. Like, that was like some DX Billy Bad Gun type.
Thank
synergy
you.
Y'all had going there.
Thank
I'm taking notes here, man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I am impressed.
We're hitting with the DX, Degeneration X, everything. Yes. So far, I mean, that's like one thing we see consistently in the reviews. Thank you to everybody who leaves a review. They say the opening is just the amount of coordination. We have not seen such a thing since the synchronized swimming.
You guys
team.
Found your pocket with that one.
Yeah,
they say they have a hard time getting to the content because they just find themselves replaying the opening over
just
and
in
over
all.
Again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just mesmerized. I understand.
Yeah, like we're doing like, we're like a UK grime DJ. We're like, wheel spin!
Pondy replay!
Yeah, it's just right back to the top. Like, Miles and Jack got mad boosies.
The guest is asleep by the time we get to them. Yeah.
But yeah, Dragonfly, how are you enjoying it? These conference finals.
These playoffs of ours. We are partially responsible for them because Miles and I are a partner with NBA, so we take ownership. How do you like our product?
How do you like it? How are you enjoying what we got out there?
Is there going to be like a settlement check in the mail for me sending through these conference products? I'm not a fan of them. I think the finals are going to be really good. You know what I mean? But these conference finals, they just haven't been good, bro.
Okay.
The Warriors are dominating. And, you know, I still like watching. They're like one of the teams that I like to watch dominate just because of how pretty and, you know, just like next level. It's not like they're just like banging it in and like laying it in. They're, you know, they play beautiful, the beautiful game. Is what I call basketball. I don't think there's another sport that calls itself that.
It's called the beautiful game that isn't basketball, no.
Every time Boston dominates, this was true in the Milwaukee series, but Milwaukee went 7. This series is tied 2-2. But after every Celtics win, I'm like, well, that's a wrap. Like the, you know, after game 4, I was like, so Celtics in 6, right? Like this is, that's it. And that was true every time they beat Milwaukee too. They just like, their wins look very convincing to me for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. It feels like, it feels like the Celtics are in that weird spot where it's, this is a championship caliber team, but they haven't taken those postseason lumps yet where it's like, okay, they know what to do in this spot. You know what I mean? Like you know, for all the times where the Celtics go missing and the game slips away from them, it's like, you know, Jalen and Jason are kind of, you know, letting the game, you know, get away from them. And it's like, okay, they're not ready to take that step just yet. You know what I mean? Because the execution isn't there. They're not executing like a veteran playoff team, which is to be expected. You know, they're pretty young to this. I'm not at all saying like, they're behind schedule or anything. Like, these are the lumps that teams take on their road to being a championship team. But to your credit, like you said, when they're on, they look like world beaters. They look like the best team in the league.
Yeah, they really do. And I posed a theory embarrassingly in front of Robert Ory that, like, every team with a star has a gravitational equilibrium. And, like, the Celtics, to this point with Jason Tatum, it's been the Eastern Conference Finals. And Miami with Jimmy Butler, it's been the finals. So, like, this is a test of that theory. But, you know, the Bulls with Michael Jordan, their gravitational equilibrium was the Eastern Conference Finals for a long time. And then I think they got a couple where they went to the finals and did pretty good.
From what I understand.
After that. So my theory might be stupid. And to your point, the Celtics and Jason Tatum are very young. So this might just be the series where we watch them kind of take it to the next level.
Yeah. And I also want to give it out to fellow geriatric millennial Al Horford, who continues to just give me these little man, that one block he had, his fourth block, when he just looked into the stands like this, like he's like, where'd that go? Where'd that go? I was just like, it was really, I don't know. I felt like there was something about watching him in this postseason that he's just been in, like, showing these signs of life that make me just believe in, you know, being an older person in this league when so much of it has been dominated by the younger players. But yeah, like even with him there too, like there is some, I don't know, for when you talk about the lumps that a team has to take, it does sort of feel like they are in that process, absolutely, of beginning to evolve into that next, you know, that next stage.
Yeah. I'm still not over how last series was the Al Horford. Like, who saw the Bucks and the Celtics, right? We saw Tatum and Giannis. We're like, okay, this is, you know, one of the first battles of many for probably, you know, the best player in the league, perhaps in a few years, right? And we saw that. And we saw those two, you know, all world guys going up against each other. And then Al Horford comes and steals the show. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember that one, was it game 3, I think, when he went crazy the first game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, bro, Boston messed up. You cannot, you know, not cash in on an Al Horford performance like that, because he won't do that again this postseason. He did it again the next game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I was like, where did this dude come from? But yeah, you know, like you said, it was just, you know, an elder millennial moment where that guy just kind of took center stage that series. Yeah.
I will tell you where he came from. That is Philadelphia, where he played for the 76ers, which is a team that I follow. And everybody was like, what are they doing spending for him? He's past his prime. And that's how it looked for a season. Not necessarily past his prime, but like wasn't doing this. And then went right back to Boston and teamed up with Tatum, who the Celtics also tricked the Sixers out of. It's a very lopsided
good feelings
I like think of it as a friendship.
Hard time.
Partnership.
Hard time.
A development deal.
The Sixers fans. But I, bro, the best player in the world dunked on that man, and that dude said, okay, Yeah. And he didn't lie. He didn't lie. That 35-year-old man did not lie. He won a championship in 2006 with Joakim Noah in college, and he is out here giving the best player in the world problems.
Wow. Yeah. That's 15, a good point.
16 years later.
I hadn't even put it together. Noah and him were teammates. Those were the days. So Dragonfly Jones, the thing that we do up top is like just pick one thing that was like the dopest thing we've ever seen on a basketball court. In this case, the dopest thing we've ever seen on a basketball court in the playoffs. I think Miles and I might have the same one, which is the Wiggins dunk.
No.
Did you see that?
Three for three there, man.
Did you hear about that play in the basketball game?
I heard about it, yes. Okay, yes.
First, wow. I guess we can talk a little bit about that series. You know, as of this recording, we have not seen what happens in game four, but math would suggest that perhaps, you know, no matter what happens in game four, that this is Golden State's to lose. But that dunk, though, I'm trying to figure out if Luka knew halfway of, like, when he went up with Wiggins that he knew, actually, I actually don't want to take part in this, because it felt like, you know, one of the more iconic images of that freeze frame is just Wiggins is up here, and then Luka is already sort of like trying to get out of the way, and I'm always like, part of me feels that, you know, I think he knew that the poster presses were getting fired up at that moment, and he decided, well, maybe let's try something different.
Yeah, he wasn't flopping. He was just reacting to what was about to happen to his legacy.
With little contact. That's why he said he kind of like flinched.
Yeah, but he was feeling the pain down through generations to follow.
Brunson defends, snaps it outside to Wiggins. Goes by Bullock. Drops the sledgehammer.
Successful challenge by Steve Kerr and the Warriors. It's not a offensive foul on Andrew Wiggins, nor is it a defensive foul on Luka Doncic, but it is a good bucket and poster by Andrew Wiggins.
Challenge successful, and Wiggins has his third career playoff double-double.
I know Luka has a very promising career ahead of him. I do think he should retire from competitive basketball after that dunk, but it was an incredible play. I did not think we were going to get two all-time great playoff dunks in the same playoffs this year, but this and Ja, as we'll talk about a little bit later.
Sure.
Do you have another play, maybe a dark horse play of like one of the dopest things you've seen a human person do on a basketball court in these playoffs?
Oh, Drew had the defensive play of the year. When he locked that game up with the block he snatched out of the air and then threw it off Marcus Smart's chest. Like, usually when guys try to save the ball, they throw it off your shins or your knees. He hit that man in his chest.
Yes.
He wanted him to feel that in his soul, right? In Boston, you know, he wanted him to feel that in his soul. Like, bro, I just took this game from you, literally took it from you midair, and I'm bouncing this ball off your chest. We're going to get it back. We're going to get the ball back. And then I'm going to steal the ball from you again to for sure lock this up. Yeah, that was the defensive play of the season for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Should we play that? Let's play that one.
I don't even know if we've talked about that, but that was one of the great, because I think by the time we had recorded again, that series was over. So 11 seconds left. They inbound Smart. Ripped by Drew Holiday on the baseline.
Play there, coming off to help. Connaughton's beat Drew
take
Holiday.
That.
Not only the block,
he just take,
but the
comes over the top and takes it off of him and throws it off.
I mean, you can tell as he's like sort of rotating on the baseline. Part of him's like, "Can I get it to somebody?" And then it just, you're like, your reflexes from being a kid, which is like, now I throw it as hard as I can at the person in front of me, so it goes out of bounds.
Off his chest, too. Yeah, like that was,
like, you know, it can't be catchable.
Drew Holiday is such a unique player, because that dude will go like 8 for 26, and then you leave that game thinking, they don't win this game without Drew. You know what I mean?
Oh,
he's one of those guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's just a unique player. I mean, he's like, I won't argue with anyone who says he's perhaps the best guard defender in the league, like even better than Marcus Smart. I mean, he's that good, man.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he was doing that to the person who won Defensive Player of the Year, and for the first time in a long time, a perimeter player winning it, probably not a coincidence. I don't know if the NBA will let us keep that in? I don't know. We'll see.
We shall see.
Hey, the defensive player of the year was the victim of the defensive play of the year.
Yeah.
That's how life is sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Soldier Boy said, in this life, you either crank that Soldier Boy cranks
you.
You. And that Soldier Boy got cranked on Marcus Smart just then. So, yeah, that was a hell of a play. You.
Was that a soundboard?
Yeah, you know, I'm bringing my soundboard from my other show.
That's typically when a podcast introduces the fact that they had a soundboard on standby is episode 9.
Yeah, when you go, there it is.
There it is.
And I always got Soldier Boy on deck. Just
there we go.
It's a classic.
Jimmy Butler has been pretty incredible. You know, we talked to Robert Horry about, you know, his ability to elevate in certain big moments. Jimmy Butler kind of does that just across the playoffs. Seems like a real thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems like he has an extra gear.
Derek White back in as Butler with another steal.
Drives inside, stops, turns, layup, got it. This is a Miami Heat avalanche here in the third quarter. And to me, the pick and roll is switching P.J. Tucker. Oh, bam, with another strip. And Butler down the end, throws it down.
Yeah, he's someone who elevates his game every postseason.
Right.
Like, I feel like for the last three seasons, I've been thinking, man, Butler might be washed. And then he just goes nuclear in the postseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, because you look at what he does and what the Miami Heat do. And, like, regardless of how much the game has evolved, regardless of how much it's, you know, threes or layups, you need to execute. Come playoff time, you need to execute in the half court. You need to be money from the mid-range, and you need to lock up on defense. And Butler that's and him. Heat do all of those things. And that's why they always have these long postseason runs. Like I said, regardless of how much the game evolves, you need to do that 1943 stuff, too. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To get that Larry O'Brien, for sure. And Jimmy Butler and the Heat are a prime example of that.
Yeah.
In that series, right, like, I know, watch, this has been a wild Eastern Conference Finals where I'm like, like, my neck hurts trying to figure out, like, I'm like, who's got the edge here? I think now that I watch it, you know, more and more, I'm like, I'm starting to lean towards the way of the Celtics just because of, you know, who the Heat may or may not have access to. But I feel like a lot of people
love them. They're your favorite franchise.
Because as a Los Angeles Lakers fan, we all know that I am legally obligated to speak kindly about the Celtics. But like, no, I mean, as I watch it, I'm just kind of looking at the injuries and I'm thinking, okay, at the end of the day, I know if the Warriors are in the final, they're looking at both. They're like, oh, so two wrecked up, banged up cars have come to meet me in the finals. But I'm just curious of who do you think has the edge despite like all these variables with the injuries and what seems like very streaky shooting for the Heat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you said, there's no science to it. So I guess I got to go with the, you know, Jimmy Butler is the best oldest guy in the series. And, you know, Spo is the best coach in the series. So I guess I'm latching my wagon at that. But I guess I will see, you know, the Heat probably getting this in seven. That's probably where I'm at.
Wow. I would love that to be true.
unbiased.
Nothing personal. Completely unbiased. I would love for that to be true. And then
mostly for Dragonfly, because we would love that for you, Dragonfly. For
I would just love that for you and for you to be happy, because I want happiness for you.
How do Sixers fans feel about Jimmy getting away?
Oh, horrible. Horrible about everything. Mm-hmm. I feel bad about that. I feel bad about the fact that we traded up to get away from picking Jason Tatum. the whole thing feels, in a word, bad. Feels bad. The kind of partnership. And then, you know, they have taken the soul out of Sixers fans in the playoffs, like that series when Sixers fans were like, Embiid, Simmons, here they come. And rookie Jason Tatum was just it was ugly. It was a painful memory.
Yeah, not very considerate of your feelings, I would say, Jack. Yeah.
Jimmy Butler, I've always told myself he just didn't want to play for the Sixers, and so that's he wanted to be in Miami. He knew that's where he belonged. And
I don't know, he was, you know, we saw that whole Tobias Harris over me tirade. I don't know if you can lean on that anymore, buddy.
I feel like great players tell themselves what they need to tell themselves to be
right,
to be furious at all times. But yeah, I mean, I can't. In no way do I feel good about any aspect of the loss of Jimmy Butler.
I got a question. Yes. You saw how like Luka, right, activated having those Suns players laughing in his face. And do you think, I mean, look, he's been performing great, but do you think he needs a moment to kind of get in his like inner, you know, aggressive player? Like, you know, he plays well when he when he feels slighted. And I feel like in this series, aside from maybe that dunk, I'm not I've seen speculation on the internet. Like I was looking at some of the fans talking, like Warriors fans, like, you think Kerr told them to not fire up Luka too much because they don't want to face the wrath? And I'm like, well, I don't know if they're, you know, going out with an intention to be like, don't upset him. But they've been, you know, pretty classy with him. And I'm curious, like in the back of their minds, they might be like, yeah, he can find a way, and maybe we'll just, you know,
if you listen to every single timeout halftime speech from Kerr is all about the Warriors being nice to Luka. That's the whole, that's his whole, been his whole strategy.
All right, bring it in, guys.
I want you to be kind to him. Nicer. Yeah.
Jordan, what are you doing, man?
Hug him. Use the formal you in Slovakian when you talk to him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Luke, if you saw the clip where, you know, after that pummeling to send Phoenix home when they locked that game up, and someone asked him, did you know that you had more points than Phoenix at the half? You saw that devilish twinkle in his
yeah,
eyes.
Right.
Of course I did. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Like, I think he lives for smack talk. Didn't the game in the bubble where him and Montrez got into that dust up, did he not hit the game winner that same very game,
yeah.
I feel like?
I think he thrives on that.
So yeah, he's someone who thrives on it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, maybe those discussions with Kerr, they're helping. Like, you know, just compliment him. Compliment his shoes. say you met one of his family members, wonderful people.
Yeah.
Which is why I hate that offensive foul call, even though he got dunked on, because I feel like you take a moment from Wiggins there and you took a moment from Luka there too. Because
right.
like in the future, we know that there's gonna come a moment where Luka is, you know, trajecting upwards and the Warriors are gonna be trajecting downward. They're probably going to meet in the postseason, and Luka's probably going to get him out of there.
Right.
And that would have been a great little redemption arc for your documentaries or whatever. When you show how Wiggins yammed on him, then 2-3 years later, he's sending the Warriors home.
Right.
Like, you don't get Rocky without him getting beat up by Apollo.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Right.
And I feel like they took that Apollo, you know, butt whooping from him in that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It takes some of the edge off that it had to be overturned.
Yeah.
And that it was a...
Yeah. I hate that so much.
Yeah. When I felt like every part of me was like, in what dimension? Okay, that's fine. But it's a poster. I think like everybody on Twitter was saying, we're like, that's an NFT either way.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk all-time great playoff dunks and other things with Dragonfly Jones.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6. The new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
And we're back.
Hi.
And yeah. Hey, we're back. Hey, good to see you. Thanks for sticking around.
It's me, Jack. From
yes. You know, we're talking about our favorite dunks so far. I think that again, we talk about this whenever there's an iconic dunk. It's one of the most basic forms of communication, which is I am better than you in this moment. And we love that energetic exchange when we see these dunks. Dragonfly, we were asking you, we're like, since we're in the moment of iconic playoff dunks, maybe you have a couple that you'd like to share with the class?
Sure. I've got a little top three, a little podium here in no particular order.
Okay.
I've got Baron Davis over Karolinko.
Okay.
07.
Let's go in that. Okay, so break that down for us.
You know, the Warriors were playing on house money at that point. Second round, they had just bounced, you know, the Dallas Mavs, who had, you know, come off a finals run in 2006. They were perhaps the best team in the league for a few years, and the Warriors just took it to the woodshed. Shouts to Don Nelson and his small ball approach. Like, we do not give Don Nelson enough props. Let me just take an aside here.
Who was just saying that? A player was just talking about Don Nelson being, like, one of his favorite coaches.
Was that Robert Horry?
Oh, it was our guest last week, Robert Horry. Yeah.
Good. We need to keep the Don Nelson love train going because that man's fingerprints are all over today's NBA. Like, you look at what he did in Milwaukee in the 70s where he created the first point forward with Marcus Johnson, right? You look at what he did in Dallas, you know, with revolutionizing the stretch forward with Dirk. You look at what he did after he left Dallas and went to, you know, the Warriors and revolutionized small ball and beat Dirk up, you know, with that. His fingerprints are all over today's NBA in regards to positionless basketball. Get the ball in your best player's hands, stretch the floor. It doesn't matter how tall you are. Can you shoot? Okay, you're going to shoot. Like, that's Don Nelson's whole blueprint there.
But, yeah. My good friend Robert Horry was saying that he wished that was the coach that he wished he could have played for.
That's right.
All the coaches that he didn't play for.
Yeah.
That was the one because, like you said, stretch, big men who stretch the floor.
I mean, Horry was one of the first stretch fours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, of course, he'd have loved Don Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, that dunk with Boom on AK, like I said, we knew they were playing with house money. We knew they were not getting past the Jazz that postseason. And for him to just go body to body, lift his jersey up. This is back before the jersey popping era. Like Baron Davis might be a pioneer.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this is 2007. And, you know, he went body to body on AK, you know, yammed it with like the hook and then just, you know, popped his. Yeah, that was an all-time moment for sure.
All right.
That was when the broadcast would like cut to the noise meter and be like, whoa, they've really.
They really like that.
Yeah.
They're loud.
It's it says out of control on this noise meter.
A lot of good things will happen, not just with him scoring, but then also it'll open up.
No!
No. Hello.
Oh, they hit 107. I don't know what that number means, but they hit 107 on that noise meter.
Sound level meter, it is labeled. Wait, so that wasn't the series where they shocked the world?
No.
No. Okay.
They beat the Mavs the round before that.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Bounced them that
series, so. Yeah.
Okay. Man, he got around Darren and he was like, man, all right. Hey, Andre, that's on you, bro. Can you handle this? he's getting away. He's like,
was that a waist trainer on Baron Davis?
Like, all right.
I know.
I wasn't
2007?
Gonna,
like
I wasn't when he lifted say that up. It does appear as though Baron Davis is wearing Spanx before they were invented.
Let me see. Yep. He got the one that was made by Body Glove.
Bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that dunk, I mean, oof, poor Karolinko. I don't know what. Let me just
see. A lot of good things will happen. Not just with him scoring, but then also it opened up.
Oh, man!
Hello.
He goes up. I mean, he's obviously got the length, but when the he goes when up, you're being beat with velocity, upward velocity, and you're like, get out my way. He didn't stand a chance. Sorry, AK-47.
For young fans, like, Baron Davis was, you know, 6'4 and built like a brick house, if I can swear once on this episode. he goes up. Kirilenko is what, like 6'8, 6'9? He's a big, tall dude, great defender. And Davis like cocks it back and like turns his back to the basket and then like almost like winding up like it's a Hideo Nomo and then just like yams on him. It's it's an act of beauty, an act of violence. Baron Davis was so fun, man.
Oh yeah.
What a time 100%. To be alive when Baron Davis was like, you know, really doing it for the Warriors.
What's next on your countdown, Dragonfly?
Next on the Dragonfly count. Kobe over Nash.
Mm.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that one.
05-06. This was again, people who may or may not have heard based on how I speak on this show, I'm a lifelong Laker fan. And this one is absolutely one of those dunks like you'll always remember. Just kind of how the play came together. It's not like, you know, this was like in transition or a fast break or something. This is just kind of like Lamar hustling.
Broke him away.
Yeah, setting Kobe up, and then the rest is history. Yeah.
It's perhaps the best Kobe play from Kobe's best season, in my opinion.
And just for a little context, Nash and the Suns were basically the best team in the league that year, right? Or like their record was, you know, they were... I think a lot of people's pick heading into the playoffs to win it all. I'm trying to think if there's another example of a team that was the best team in the league heading into the playoffs and then can't put it together in the playoffs and loses in the second round. But I can't think of it.
Nah. All right.
But anyways, Phoenix Suns at that time, that's what happened to them.
Luke Walton. Oh, come on the floor, toss it to Kobe. Nash thinks it's a good idea to get near Kobe.
And the foul. Well, how serious was that? And the foul. Kobe will go to the line looking for the three-point play as Kobe on attack, in attack mode.
Kobe is generally always in.
Let's see that replay.
It's so hard for him not to be. What an effort by Lamar. Securing it while on the ground, finding Kobe, and Kobe finds the rim. I mean, you talk about jump off a trampoline, up, and oh, whoa! And Steve Nash called for the blocking.
Just foul. And just that hanging on the rim after, just to add insult to injury. I think that is my favorite way to underline it is just to be like, are you good down there? Can I come down now? Just so you're okay. Okay, I will safely return to Earth.
And props to Lamar. You know, like the announcer said, he busted his butt on that play, dove for the loose ball, threaded the dime between two defenders, like tremendous effort on his part.
And what's another dunk that you've been enjoying? Can we think of another playoff postseason dunk?
Yeah, it's Jalvar Beasley. That's an all-timer. Recency bias be damned. That is going down in the books.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have a hard time differentiating between recency bias and like whether the players are just like getting better like this. I don't know. This play made me a believer that we might be seeing some of the best things we've ever seen in the history of the league.
Fans have gotten antsy here in Memphis.
They're down 13. 3-2
lead in this opening round series. Morant.
No! My, no.
A jawbreaker! And if there's anything that will get this crowd roaring at the Grizzlies' den, it is Ja Morant on the floor.
What do you think it is about this? How, bro, how far back he's got it caught?
That choppy connection was actually a blessing here. Yeah. Seeing all these freeze frames was ridiculous.
Oh, because you're just
yeah, it was like watching it with a broken strobe light on, and that was actually kind of cool.
For you, is it? Because it's so beautiful visually, right? Like, just him dunking on Beasley, but also, like, his body shape, having the ball so far back. I'm like, I think it, like, tickles every part of your brain, like, that makes a dunk beautiful. that I have trouble actually quite putting my finger on it because it has every single dimension of a fantastic dunk.
Yes, all great dunks have a moment where the dunk seems impossible.
Right.
Where it's like, pause it right here. How did he take off from here? Or pause it right here. He was midair. The defender was right there. He dunked on that guy. Like, they all have a moment like that where it's where it seems improbable, but they pull it off.
Right.
Yeah. That's the Baron dunk, the choppy connection made me realize that he basically turns around to like Hideo Nomo on him. And this one, he's so far back when he cocks it back.
It's ridiculous when you look at it frame by frame.
Still like at the circle. He's still at the circle when he cocks it all the way back.
I have trouble describing what I'm seeing. Like, it, even like with the amount of speed he had going into it, like, I feel like he could have taken off from well behind the free throw line and still made it to the rim. Like, Beasley got in his way and he was still like, no, sorry, I'm still going to make it. Like, it's just impossible. But,
It's both a how did he do that and why did he do that? Why did he jump that far back and think he could dunk it? And then, he ended up doing it. So, all right. Should we take one more break and then come back? We'll do a rapid fire, close things out.
Yep, let's do it. We'll be right.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DK Hoops only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, Symbiotica.com.
And we're back. And to close things out, I mean, I think we stumbled upon a nice little game last episode, Jack, with our rapid fire questions, because it allows us to learn more about our guests, and also we get to learn something like maybe where some of the best food is. But shall we get into our rapid fire? So, Dragonfly, we're going to ask you some questions. Don't think, just answer, and away we go. Start the clock.
Ooh, like the Joker.
That's good.
Away we go. Dragonfly, what's your favorite dunk of all time?
Favorite dunk of all time, Pippen over Ewing. And that's the best dunk of the playoffs. You know, my other three were my favorites, but that is objectively the best dunk of the playoffs.
Yeah, where their body turns into like a human plus sign. It's like everyone's legs, like everyone's like right angle legged.
I was just
it's so disrespectful. Like, you know, he dunked on that man. He stood over him. Then he went and talked smack to Spike Lee, told him to sit his bleep down. Yeah. It was a moment, bro.
Dragonfly, you are a aficionado of trash talk. Who is your GOAT trash talker of all time? Number one.
GOAT trash talker of all time. It might be MJ.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It might be MJ. You know, as boring as that answer might be, like, when I found out that dude would sing Anita Baker while giving dudes the work, I was like, okay, like, what could top that?
Right.
Dude is out there saying, and dotting your eye with a step back, like, come on, man. Like, I would go home. I would be so angry. I would leave if you did that to me.
You can go back in time, and this is a hypothetical, by the way. I'm not telling you the truth here.
you can go back in time.
You
okay,
can go back in time and witness any single game live. Which game are you choosing?
Game 7, 2016 Finals.
Mm.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, and it would be fun to be there in particular.
Be there. I want to be right next to Little Dicky right when Bron almost dunked on Draymond. Have y'all seen that picture?
No.
Like, Little Dicky is in the background appalled at what's about to happen.
Oh, no.
Is Little Dicky a Warriors fan?
All jokes aside, Little Dicky is he cannot believe that Bron was about to, you know, eviscerate that man like that.
What's kind of amazing about that picture is the perspective looks like Little Dicky might also be holding the basketball. Because Bron is holding it in the front, and it almost looks like Little Dicky's also got the ball cocked back, but he's really being like, no!
Yeah.
Dragonfly, who is your personal GOAT, greatest of all time?
Oh, LeBron James. And I say this as someone who watched peak Jordan. You know what I mean? I am that old to where I knew what I was watching when I watched Jordan. I watched that finals. I said, there is no player I've ever seen in my life who could have done what LeBron James did here.
Right.
You know, he's the, you know, regardless of if you think he's the GOAT, we've never seen a player this good for this long. We've never seen a more complete player.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the worst praise you can give LeBron, then that's fine. But that makes him my GOAT.
For sure.
All right. And then over the next 5 years, are there one or two people, like faces of the league, who you could see entering that conversation currently in the league?
Yes. Yes. You know, I'm not beholden to my GOAT being the GOAT forever. Like I said, Jordan was my GOAT until I feel like Bron surpassed him. Mm. There's going to be, you know, 10, 15 years down the line where someone will probably surpass Bron to me. And the one who's in pole position for that right now is Giannis. Like, we'll see what, you know, what the young man accomplishes, but the resume he has right now, 27. Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? Back-to-back MVPs, Defensive Player of the Year, Finals MVP, one of the greatest finals performances I've ever seen. I don't know if he will be the GOAT, but the sky's the limit for that young man, for real.
I've never heard of him. I'll have to look him up. He sounds good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Google him.
It's the one when you think that you said, who's Johnny S? And I said,
yeah, Johnny.
All right. Who's Gianni S?
Hey, Gianni.
Hey, Giannis. Oh, I love Giannis. Dragonfly, you could put together the ultimate one-on-one tournament where you can pluck people out of different eras in their primes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your ultimate matchup. How are you going to sell out that pay-per-view when you say, I have X versus X one-on-one, tune in tonight?
X versus Sever.
That's good. That is a really good question. I feel like KD is a lock for one of those spots.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I feel like you got to go perimeter wing player, because fact is, their games are just prettier. You know what I mean? It's prettier. I love bully ball, back to the basket, you know, working the post basketball, but as far as aesthetic wise, you know, bringing in the viewers, perimeter wing players, that's what, you know, fans love. KD will for sure get a lock for me, and maybe Kobe.
Wow.
I feel like Kobe versus KD would probably be a good matchup aesthetically wise, but KD's such a match, you know, mismatch that he's beating whoever I probably roll out there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? 7 foot, get whatever jumper he wants.
Right.
But as far as, you know, just beauty of the game, you know, aesthetically pleasing, I'd probably go Kobe KD.
So I want to give an answer here, because if it's,
all right,
if it's make it, take it, like, I think that's a great answer. If, you know, you score and then you go on to defense, I want to see Shaq versus Jordan, because I feel like Jordan would find a way to win, even though Shaq could back him down every single time. Like, I don't know. It would be interesting to see how he solves that problem.
That game would be ugly every single time. Like, Jordan will work Shaq. Shaq would work Jordan. There would be no...
You'd need three...
But it would be entertaining, though.
Three NBA refs on the court. Yeah.
Right.
All right. And finally, two-part question. Greatest basketball movie of all time, and then best worst basketball movie of all time.
I think the best worst basketball movie is probably Six Man.
Six Man.
Six Man has literally...
With Kadeem Hardison?
Six Man has literally made me tear up before.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've got an older brother, you know what I'm saying, who I'm close with, and seeing, you know, the whole, you know, Marlon losing his older brother, that has brought me, like, has had the bottom lip quivering a few times. That's probably the best worst basketball movie.
I saw that twice in the theater.
Yeah. Twice in the theater. Yeah.
I was such a Wayans fan. Anything any Wayans was in, I was watching, like, just from In Living Color on. Yeah. I was just like loyal to the Wayans family. Like, I will give you my money when I can.
And that was like 98, 99. When they were
97. Yeah, it was 97, the Six Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Best basketball movie. Above the Rim will probably get my vote. You got Tupac. You got Wood Harris. Wood Harris is a legitimately great thespian. He is one of America's greatest actors. He has been doing this for like 4 decades now. Yeah, Above the Rim probably gets my vote.
The gameplay in Above the Rim is like pretty good, right? Like it's solid. Like when I was younger and watching movies, it really bothered me how bad Michael J. Fox was at basketball in Teen Wolf. And so I think I judged everything from that point forward based on like, well, that person actually looks like they know how to play basketball. So, you know, getting Ray Allen in He Got Game, Blue Chips.
Oh, how did I forget He Got Game? I might have to change my vote to He Got Game. I might have to.
Okay.
The movie succeeding despite Ray Allen giving us one of the worst performances in the history of cinema is a testament unto itself.
No. But it's an unobtrusive bad performance. It's not, he's not trying to do anything. He's just like, I'm a great looking human who looks amazing holding a basketball and doing things with it. Yeah.
Blue Chips doesn't get in any of these? I love Blue Chips.
I'm in the background of Blue Chips.
You
when
are?
Rick Pitino's being interviewed. You can see two blurs shooting hoops in the background. I am one of those blurs.
I am the blur. Oh,
no, sorry,
wow.
That's He Got Game. My friend is in the background of both Blue Chips and He Got Game. I am in the background of He Got Game when Rick Pitino is being interviewed.
Wow.
Shooting around in the gym.
Oh, right. Okay, I'm going to have to look out for that.
Yeah. No, you can tell because I got kind of an ugly shot. And like you can see that one of the blurs looks like they have a hitch in their shot.
Unorthodox.
Yeah, exactly.
Unorthodox. Exactly. I thought I got style points when I was developing my shot.
Dragonfly, thanks so much for stopping by, Mad Boosties. Always.
What a
wonderful
pleasure
to have guests like you on.
Sure. It was a blast, fellas. Appreciate y'all having me, man. Do you have a cool little outro going on too? Or
I mean, cool in the sense that we ask our guests, where can people find more of you and hear from you and listen to you?
For sure. You know, follow me on Twitter, Dragonfly Jones. I'm on The Volume, the Jenkins and Jones show with my boys, Legetho Jenkins, Mike Gardabasio. So I'm out here. I'm in these pod streets and these Twitter streets.
Okay.
Yeah, ask about me.
Yeah. Get into his Twitter. Get into his Twitter.
But to answer your question,
we have fun over there.
We don't have anything that we do to end the show, and it's actually kind of a problem. It's just we kind of like trail off a little bit.
Yeah, and then we're kind of like,
bye.
I don't know. That was a good episode. I guess we'll
so
be
that
back.
That was good, right?
Next
that
week with
we'll see
another installment of Miles
and
Jack
got
mad
Boosties
in perfect synchronization.
Man. I forgot to say Finding Forrester, my favorite basketball movie.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next week. Take care.
You're the man now, dog.
There he is.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.